You guys up for a toga party?
Toga! Toga!
Hey, everybody, it's the rap party! How's everybody doing tonight?
Never better. Not bad.
Are you asking us or them?
Everybody. Oh, I'm asking everybody out there in here. That music is from Jeff Fiorentino at jfrocks.com. He did the music for The Call Sheet, and we're glad to have him back playing the tunes for us. Amazing. Jeff, you can go home now. We're good, man. Thank you. Our show tonight and for the rest of the month, which is next week, is brought to you by our friends at BeyondTheMarquee.com. They were kind enough to pay the $100,000 per episode.
Amazing fees.
To bring us here. So
I did not. I was wondering where the paymaster was, so I'm glad I know.
Beyond the Marquee.
The car service we sent got lost.
Yeah. Sorry, Dan. We went a little late because the car service didn't pick up our guests.
Couldn't quite
get
find
to.
You.
So thank you, Beyond the Marquee, M-A-R-Q-U-E-E, for those of you who don't have the Hooked on Phonics right in front
with
of
the
you.
With the .com.
Joining me tonight is from Universal Studios Hollywood. He's a big wig over there.
Yes.
He was also not seen in the movie Holes.
Correct.
Ladies and gentlemen, Robert Armour.
Thank
Robert.
You, John.
Is with us.
Excited to be back.
How was everything over there at Universal, Robert?
You know, it's okay. You know, I'm working on transferring and all that good stuff, so we'll see.
Transfer.
Well, we talked about it last week.
Oh, transfer. Oh, you might be a tour guide.
Right, yeah.
Because you're not going to be a big wig anymore. You're going to be an actor on a tram.
Yeah. I'll be doing both. I'll be doing
so you can fire
work,
people literally mid-route. You're in King Kong. You're fired.
You're fired. I can do that. I will be able to do that.
All right. Also with us tonight, the lovely and the talented, we love him to death, Peter Miller.
Hey,
how you doing, man?
I have never been better, man. It's always great to be on the big show with you.
Yeah.
And we're ready to rock this party.
What are you wearing tonight? You're wearing like a striped shirt. You look like a sailor mate.
I might be, you know. I've got my nice black and white stripes on. I think it does me well.
We're very close to Pershing Square. He can go do some mime work.
You do look like a mime.
Let's go make some money.
That's right.
A very sensitive subject in my life about miming.
Steve couldn't keep Steve.
I remember
Peter.
I remember your stage show, yours, mime, and ours. It was fantastic.
It lasted all about 6 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they don't like mime smoking or raspy voices, so I guess that job didn't last.
Who the hell can
long.
Hear them?
Well, they heard right? Peter.
Peter,
that's
the worst mime
here.
Ever. I'm in a box. I can't get out of this box.
They never could understand where I was. I had to explain it because they always say in comedy, always best to explain the joke.
Sure, absolutely.
An explaining mime.
It's a rope.
It's a rope.
Don't you get it?
No, that's his penis. Pretty sure that mime's penis. I had to say that we get a quarter every time we say penis.
Why I was kicked out of the mime agency.
With us also tonight, Allison is at Coachella. Stephanie couldn't afford Coachella. Stephanie could afford the bottle of rum she's consuming right now.
Hello.
She's back in action. Stephanie
Hello,
Butora.
Nice to be back. Nice to be back.
Can we get the sound of the bottle pouring into the cup, Stephanie?
Oh my God.
I don't know if you can hear it.
Oh boy.
Oh, we did get that.
Wow. Did you get
we
it?
Got that.
That was fun. Jeez.
Hey, Stephanie, that's can you do so a British much. Accent for the rest of the show now?
Oh, too soon.
Jeremy's
right.
Sensitive subject.
Jeremy's in the booth.
Hi, Jeremy.
Mindy's playing drums tonight somewhere. Hey, Jeremy, how you doing? That was it?
That was it.
You said, hey, as over me or under me.
Not nearly as talkative as me.
Thanks. We'll stay awake for a few minutes, Jeremy.
Okay,
thank you. And our special guest with us tonight. I hope you like this intro. I wrote it out. Over the years, how am I doing so far?
Over the years makes me sound old, so why don't you go to hell?
In the last few months,
early dawn of film.
You've seen him in a zillion movies and television shows, most notably as Cliff Lewis in TV's Matlock. Is that pretty good? You like that?
That's great.
Okay. you played Jay Leno in the HBO movie The Late Shift. Huh?
Good.
All right.
So you were
that's right. What
you
were
saying, like Jay Leno.
Oh yeah, that's right.
That's awesome.
Yeah. There it is.
Let me know if this is right. You were Tommy Lee Jones's comical sidekick.
I don't think Tommy Lee Jones. If you asked him, he might say, "I don't remember Roebuck being funny."
I do. You were Deputy Marshal Bobby Biggs. It's a long name in The Fugitive and its spinoff. Do they have movie spinoffs?
No,
just
it's a sequel.
Oh, all right, geez. U.S. Marshals. Yada yada yada. I'm gonna keep going on.
That's
intro.
That's funny.
This intro is longer than I thought it was going to. It's longer than I intended. Anyway, you were in some great movies. And I think a lot of people know you as doctor. You weren't a doctor, and that you were Arts.
I was a doctor.
You were
doctor.
I was right. Yes, thank God. Yeah. You were Dr. Arts in this this scene. And how many episodes did you do of Lost?
Gosh.
17.
Eight, nine. I don't know.
Okay.
I did episodes, webisodes, birthday parties. I put on the Dr. Arts. No, you think it's, I'm kidding? Let me just tell you, it's true. Remember, we know that George Reeves used to put on the Superman
right.
suit.
Right.
Yes.
Right? So someone asked me to come to their 16-year-old's birthday party as Dr. Arts.
Oh,
and
wow.
At first I thought, how dare you? And then I thought, well, if Superman can do it. Like,
yeah.
Why,
yeah.
Like, why can't I? Honest to God. So, I mean, for that, you know, not
were
for
were people
money,
confused when
free.
You walked in as Superman?
Yeah, I was wearing a Superman suit. And I asked for a revolver because I'm very committed to the role.
Too soon.
And by the way, in the middle of this intro, if anybody's on,
well, we're still introing.
No, on this coast, they should just run to their DVR. And I'm on Vegas, perhaps now or a little bit from now.
No, that's great.
Conflicting your schedule,
but DVR it.
Yeah, don't know. I'm saying, listen to this. Watch this if you're mentally handicapped. But listen to this. And then go watch Vegas. Oh, I got there's already an eye roll. That was a joke.
No, no one's rolling eyes here. Peter just dropped his.
Oh, no, that was his dice. What? Peter's got
Peter,
his
Peter eye rolls. Peter has an eye condition we don't like to talk about. Once in a while, it'll roll into the back of his head and he'll pass out for 5 minutes.
Oh, don't worry about that.
All right.
It's a quiet time.
Wait, hold on. Get back to that introduction. It was very interesting.
I was going
to
play this clip.
After. Yada, 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 and before something else.
Okay, yada, yada, yada. This clip is, I queued it up. It's quick, but it's one of your penultimate moments in Lost. It's when you're wrapping up some dynamite.
Oh, let's see.
And you're a big shot. It's quick, but here we go.
All right, we're not going to take any more of this stuff than we need because nitroglycerin is extremely temperamental. So we...
And you just blew up over the entire group of Lost people.
Wait for it.
No, in a few beats.
Dude.
Yeah, that was Hurley saying, dude. And then later on, he says, you got some arts on you.
Yeah.
That because you're arts.
Dr. Wilson.
And he
actually
blew up.
Says arts. That's what's funny. He says it wrong.
Oh, he says it wrong? It. Did he do it on purpose?
Yeah, I think that's in the script. I think so.
Huh. And by the way, Jeremy, I can't tell if anybody's calling because I closed the wrong menu.
Jesus.
Yeah, so just point to me or something.
Because the character they set up in there for the show for your role was definitely a very respected character in the group.
Yeah.
You know, they all listened to everything you said and recommended.
I was, you know, when they called and said, you know, you're going to go be on Lost, I had never seen Lost. And I said, oh, God, wow, all right. But I didn't know what I was playing. I didn't know anything. And, you know, in retrospect, people said, how did you take the job without knowing who you were playing? You didn't read the script. And I said, I read the plane ticket. The plane ticket said LAX Hawaii. Why the hell would I have not done it? But anyway, yeah, that was Lost. I wish you guys could watch this. Literally everyone in this room is looking at a computer.
Well, it's because Stephanie was trying to help me do something on this.
Stephanie can do anything.
I was trying,
so
but...
pretty.
No, but seriously, with that big arts all over you, you know, that was season one, right?
Yeah, that was the end of the last
season.
Episode of the first
the
season.
End of the first season. I mean, and for such a short-lived time that you were on that show, I mean, I definitely, because I became a fan later on and then rewatched everything from the beginning.
Oh, all right.
And, what a great role for such a limited amount of time that you were on. Like, you know, if they're working on the show. But I definitely thoroughly remember the character and definitely remember that finale to season one. Just being like, wow, there you go.
Yeah, that was
that's
hey,
it.
Dan, I have a question for you.
Oh, yes, yes.
Have you ever thought in your career before Lost that you'd ever play a character named Leslie?
No, that was the name of my first wife, actually. I wonder, you know, and that never occurred to me until you just said it. Even when we shot it, I never thought.
Your name is Leslie.
Because there is a Leslie Roebuck.
That was my question. Thanks for coming in.
Okay. Everybody have a great night.
That's the show.
If you guys have any questions.
That was definitely worth a drive downtown.
Who are listening tonight, the number is 1-800-893-9562. Call in, talk to Leslie. Yeah, Dan. He's here.
Call him Mr. Biggs.
I know it's Saturday night. It's big time Saturday night. But if you're listening at home or you know, anywhere else in the world, call me.
Yeah.
It's great.
Our worldly listeners.
Dan.
Yes.
Let's skip around here because your resume goes all over the place.
Oh,
it's everywhere.
There's a lot of yada, yada, yada.
Okay. Listen, no disrespect with the yada, yada, yada.
I'm not offended. John, have I ever been offended by anything?
Well, you rolled your eyes at me then. I think you got Peter's condition.
I'm trying to make
condition.
The people at home laugh.
I still don't remember me rolling my eyes.
No, you didn't roll your eyes.
Oh,
who
thank
rolled
you.
Their eyes?
God, someone else. So much better now.
It was an eye roll.
Did Jeremy roll
no,
his eyes?
No, Jeremy's eyes have been
sleeping.
Looking
They've been closed.
He's on eBay. I mean, he's not even paying attention.
Happy 420, Jeremy. Happy 420.
Your first major role. Was as Rex in 1985.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Peter loves this fucking movie. Dude. It's Cave Girl.
Cave Girl.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of one-off. I was hoping there'd be many more to come from
it. Well, it's very funny. I remember when we were making it, we thought, oh, and Cave Girl 2, none of us realizing, of course, that it was shit. What's interesting about Cave Girl is we're laughing at it, and it would be absolutely an embarrassment. Well, it is an embarrassment.
It is an
embarrassment,
I love it.
However, we're still talking about it, right?
Yes.
And they're putting out Cave Girl on DVD for the second time. So last week, we did something that's never been done. We've done a commentary in 2.5D. So we did the commentary and we filmed it. And there'll be pictures on it. So we couldn't really afford 3D, but we have 2.5D of the commentary. And also, I'm making a documentary called Cave Girl, A Second Journey Back in
Are
Time.
Are you serious?
Absolutely.
Wow.
It'll be, I think, So we'll get
Sounds
it.
Sounds entertaining.
Before it's done, I'm going to figure out the name of Code Red. Code Red is putting it out. Code Red, and it'll be out in a few months. So Cave Girl... on DVD with special features, photos, my photo albums, my script, and a lot of self-deprecating humor. Because, frankly, how do you talk about Cave Girl without saying, it's shit?
No.
I just want to know what happened to, I had to check it again, but David Oliver, who wrote and directed.
Yes.
If you look him up on IMDb, because I did it before the show.
Yeah, he does that.
There's nothing else.
Yeah.
There is nothing else listed, and I just really want to know, this was just his baby, this was his pride and joy,
yes.
And that was it. He just went off the wagon afterwards.
Well, David ended up teaching in San Francisco at the Art Institute or whatever it is up there, so he became a teacher.
Nice.
And it's interesting, my comments on Cave Girl are always couched with a certain regard for David Oliver, because in reality they did not want the fat ass Dan Roebuck in the movie. And I convinced him that I would be better in the lead than the guys that I saw audition, all good looking guys. So I can't, there can never, I always have to have a regard for David because he took a chance on me.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And so I'm not, it is sad that anybody does it once and doesn't go back
to
it. I mean, it's unfortunate. IMDb is filled with,
Robert's still trying, man.
Robert.
Yeah.
Robert, by the way, the truth is, and that's a whole other story, but when I came out here, you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to be a tour guide at Universal.
Oh, really?
I haven't,
You know who are tour guides, Dan? Peter
All
and I.
Of us.
Peter and I were tour guides.
I don't know that you were a tour
That's
guide.
How I know Peter.
Yeah, that's how I know
Peter
John.
Used to sell me drugs behind, the King Kong Adventure.
Yeah, no,
the, actually, Code Red
fair.
Was the Universal Police are coming. So when you said Code Red, it brought back memories.
Code Red on that. I'm sure you didn't really
No,
sell
it's
drugs.
A joke. Peter did.
But, that's what I wanted to be. And when I didn't get past the first interview, I wrote, because up to when I got here to town, I had been a magician, an impressionist, a stand-up comedian, a clown in a circus, and I knew everything that any human being could know about Universal Studios.
Yeah.
Yet somehow, I did not get past the first run.
It's a grueling process.
Yeah, Whoopi Goldberg, they always drilled us into it. Whoopi Goldberg tried out for this, and well, that's great, and I made it.
Yeah, exactly.
We were in my training class for Universal. I think it was, no, I was there. Was I there before you, Peter?
You were there about a year before.
Okay, well, in our training class, it was a big group and they whittle it down over the week.
Yeah.
So you get a phone book of material.
Yes,
remember. Just movie stuff.
I remember from my friend.
Right. Well, we had an Asian girl, very, very sweet girl that I remember. And I remember her in the cafeteria once and she said, Clint Eastwood, I don't know. I said, well, she's not going to make it. And she didn't. She didn't know who Clint Eastwood was.
And now she's running Universal.
Yes.
That woman. Yes. Connie Chung.
I think she's producing. Oh, jeez. Wow. On that note, let's move on if you're ready. Nope. I have to ask also.
The ball's in motion.
Let's move on from Cave Girl. Now, you then did an appearance on The Love Boat, but we'll move past that.
I did. You know, The Love Boat, that was my first SAG job.
Really?
Nice.
Yeah,
oh.
The Love Boat. I had one line, and I said, you know, there was this one of the series regular. I spilled a beer, a fake beer, on the bar in whatever my nervousness, and he said, your first time on a set? And I
was
said,
it Isaac?
I said, yes. It was Isaac.
Wait, I ruined the joke?
I would never have said his name.
And you punched him square in the jaw.
No. He's not a tall man, but he looked like he could kick my ass.
You can see.
We
have a caller.
Who's my mom, so. Mom?
Who's calling in? Is this Isaac?
This is Chad from Baltimore.
Hey, Chad, how are you?
Hi, Chad.
How you doing, Chad?
Yeah, I do. It's so pathetic. The guy who's calling is someone I know. Chad, I owe you a call.
It gets worse, Dan. Our friends are going to be calling soon.
Chad, yes. Barnabas Collins, next week, San Diego. Are you going to be there?
Dan, I'm still waiting for my Jack in the Box tacos. What the hell's going on?
Wow, you got to come out here. This is so pathetic. Not only do I know this guy, I know that he's a Dark Shadows fan. But evidently not a homosexual, so that's interesting. Because he'd be the only one.
That is true. There's only I don't know, 8 billion homosexual Dark Shadows fans. So,
but
Peter's right
doing.
Here too. So he's a big fan. He's dressed as a vampire now.
This is the only way you can talk to me because I haven't called back. How's what?
Should we leave? Should we go in the other room? What's happening?
Yes, brother.
No, actually, I just wanted to, you know, touch base with Dan and just say how awesome. Enjoyed the Walking Dead podcast.
Yeah, we're going to get to that. We're getting to that. Yeah.
Thank you, Chad.
You sick bastard in that web series there. I'm not talking about you on the phone. I'm talking about Dan next to me.
Well, you know, so much.
But I'm sure you're a sick bastard too, not to take anything
away. But Chad,
away.
While you're on this radio, tell me the name of the Bleecker Street Boys. Is that it?
Bleecker Street Cowboys.
Street Cowboys. This is a very good musician, by the way, nice. And him and his buddies. Okay. Let's plug him since he had the balls to call. Shouldn't you be sleeping in Baltimore?
It is late, but I saw your Facebook. I got a call. And
thanks
you
for doing that, Dan.
Thank you, Chad.
Thank you. You guys want to spend a little more time?
No,
are you
Chad,
good?
I'll call you this week.
Oh, that's cool. Chad, thanks for calling, man.
Hey, man, no problem. I'm really enjoying the show. Thanks, Chad.
Wow. Thank you, everybody.
Hey, we have another caller.
What?
We are blowing up.
Who's calling? Dan, are you bringing the phone calls?
It might be someone else that I haven't called back.
Usually Stephanie will go in the other room and call us from the other room and change your voice. Who's calling? Are you still there, caller?
Hello?
Jeremy? Are you there?
They got skipped.
I like that they blame Jeremy.
Always blame Jeremy.
Call back if you're not asking for money. Call back.
Yes, call back.
We don't have any.
Once again, this is not the sex show that takes place on Wednesday.
No, we don't talk about that.
Don't get
They get enough
stuff.
Listeners. Let's move on.
As this fella mentioned Facebook, please, let's go to, there's a Daniel Roebuck fan page, and you'll know it's mine because I think there's a picture of this show up on it now.
Ooh.
There's some odd... Guys, there's fake fan pages for me. Like
really?
Fake.
I'm responsible for three of them.
All right. Well, it's very odd. People are like, I've been you never post. And I say, no, they post on the site. So, yeah, you got to find the right one.
Okay.
And you'll know it's mine because there's updated information.
Yeah. All right. You're
Thank
welcome.
You.
Yeah. So again, if you call back, 1-800-893-9562, just hold on the line and we'll get to you. Maybe. Unless it's one of Peter's friends. Who's here this week? Christopher Atkins called. Is he calling in this week?
I'm pretty sure he said he might be calling.
But
we can never really guarantee on what he's going to do. I got, you know, Margot Kidder said she's a pretty much guarantee.
Wait, we got something? I can't hear you, Jeremy. The show's going down like a love boat.
I got gas.
Do we have a caller?
Oh, our caller's back.
Do we have a caller? Caller. Wow, this is fun.
Hello.
Hey, caller.
Hey.
Which one of Dan's friends are you?
I'm not Dan's friend. I'm John's friend.
Oh, no. Oh, great. Oh, my no. friend. Well, this is Brian calling from Binghamton, New York.
Oh, Binghamton. I've been to Binghamton.
Hugh Grant was just there filming a movie. It blows my mind. Poor Hugh.
Well, I don't think you should say Hugh Grant and blows in the same way.
Thank you, Dan.
Hey, you got to watch your language. My kids are listening.
Oh, what are you? Sorry about that. Stephanie slips up sometimes.
I apologize.
Yeah. All right.
Ay, Dios mío.
So what's up, Brian?
Yeah, it is.
What? Wow. Oh, boy, I'm glad you called.
What's going on?
Nothing. Hey, we're in the middle of a show, buddy. Can we talk later?
No, text me. Talk about whatever's going on your show.
Well, we are. We're talking to Dan's our guest tonight, Brent. Can we talk later?
For Dan.
Do you have a question for Dan?
I'm good. Hey, in Binghamton, New York, isn't there a great carousel that's got Rod Serling Twilight Zone all over it?
Because Rod Serling was born in Binghamton.
Our claim
Don't
to fame.
Ask me. I wouldn't know.
Oh, boy.
I wouldn't know, but it's true. You know, my friend Cortland Hull painted that carousel.
Really?
Oh. Yes.
Because it's known as the carousel capital of the world, in case people didn't know
Binghamton,
that.
Because they used to make carousels.
Yep. And then, well, they still have working carousels there.
Rod Serling from Binghamton, New York. Well, it's nice meeting you.
Yeah, Brian.
Thank you for calling. It would be, no offense to you, of course, Brian, but if anybody who didn't know anyone in this room would call, that might impress the other seven listeners.
Brian, thanks for calling, man. I'll talk to you later.
Bye,
tell your kids to go to sleep. Brian?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Right. Or hang up, you jerk. All right.
Thank you, Brian.
Let's move on. Let's get back on track.
Our callers always come in with greatest questions.
They really do. Let's go through your list quickly because I have a lot of questions.
We have so much
to get through.
Okay.
The River's Edge.
Yes. All
the
right.
River's Edge. Big dramatic role for you.
Yes.
You play a nice guy.
I do. Can you imagine? Before that, I was in Cave Girl, and then I was in River's Edge, and it's a bit different. I guess the Love Boat was in between.
But
were you on every TV show ever?
I've tried. And by the way, I'm trying to be on. With this new technology, I'm trying to be on every TV show that was ever made. My dream is for someone to turn on the Brady Bunch and go, "Wait, is that Dan Robach? How the hell did he get on that?"
Oh man,
brilliant!
Hey, we have another call.
I can't wait.
How exciting is this?
I can't wait.
Caller, go ahead. Please don't be a friend of ours. Hello?
All right. I'll pretend not to.
Oh, no.
Eaton Catholic High School with John.
Who's this?
Oh, my God.
In the past.
Who is that? Who's this?
Gamache.
Oh, Dave Gomash. I haven't talked to him since. Wow. Facebook.
I did not know John. I went to Catholic High School, too. What was your school?
Well, we went to Seton Catholic High School. The reason I was calling is I speak in schools around the country, and I saw a very small shrine in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, at a school to yourself, sir. So I was calling to let you know that you're famous back at your own high school.
That's what I did.
No way.
No, what do you talk about at schools?
I work for the family of the first student killed at Columbine. Today's actually the 14-year anniversary of that.
Okay. Oh, wow. With the current events.
Yeah, right.
No joke about that. But I'm glad. So you go and you talk to kids about that horror and how to avoid it.
No, we actually go in and talk about how she had a premonition she was gonna die young, and so she lived very intentionally and took care of people and did some pretty cool stuff. And after her death, her family discovered a lot of really prophetic stuff in her journals, and people came forward saying that she did this to help and that to help, and it's a very inspirational story, so it's good stuff.
Oh, good. That's awesome. Thank you. Say her name so people can, let's say the name of a hero out loud. What is it?
It's Rachel Joy Scott, the person I talked about, and the program's called Rachel's Challenge, but my claim to fame is not that I've been in front of senators and athletes and actors and Olympians and such. My claim to fame is I know John Donahue.
And my claim to fame is I know Dan Roebuck.
But you know what's funny? Now, let's discuss that a second. Now, not that you know me, but so I don't think it's really a shrine, but I did at Bethlehem Catholic High School. I was given the Distinguished Alumni Award.
Oh wow!
And I was there with there's always three, and I was there with a brilliant doctor who had invented some new way to birth babies, although I thought there was only one way.
The robot birth.
I was with one of the heads of the FBI.
Whoa.
And I said, this is so interesting. I see why you've given me this award, because I've played a doctor and an FBI man on TV.
Yeah.
But when they gave, there's a guy there named Ray Boris who was one of the great teachers. This poor guy got stuck with me for 4 years. I had a religion 3 years and psychology 1 year. And when I went to visit his room, because he was, you know, still 30 years later at Bethlehem Catholic High School, he pulled out my report card from my senior year, which was not a good report card. And to make fun of me in front of the students. And I said, but Ray, I just received the Distinguished Alumni Award, and you have the same job. if he's listening, hopefully he'll call, because we should have one other person who knows his call. But he was a great guy, and that's great school. And by the way, I go to great trouble to send my own children to Catholic high school. My daughter will be the senior class president at her high school. Oh, my son's on student council at his Catholic high school. So it's a good education to be had.
Yes, I agree. Where I learned to swear.
That's where, yeah. So pathetic. If we're the best of the cream of the crop,
yeah,
then maybe we're not. Maybe I shouldn't mention it.
Hey Dan, done. I just wanted to point out,
Mr. Kamesh, thank you for calling.
Dave, thanks for calling, dude. No, we'll talk soon, man.
If we had to suffer through Catholic education, our kids should have to too.
That's right. I agree. Hey, we'll talk later, dude.
Take care, bro.
See you, man.
Whatever.
Hey, by the way, Dan, there's four homeless people building a statue of you downstairs in front of the building as we speak.
Hopefully one of them will call.
Yeah, so Stephanie's going to go downstairs.
Cell phone.
And document.
Wait, hold on.
I'll take care of them.
Shoot, I don't have my cell phone. I think one of them grabbed it.
They might have.
Very likely walking around Skid Row Studio.
Okay, there was a joke, but I'm not going to use it.
Oh.
Oh, no.
So River's Edge. Anyway, back to me.
Yes, well, River's Edge, because we're doing good. How are we doing on time, Robert?
We're good. We're at 29 minutes left.
We've got all these, but what about these guys?
We talk about them every week. This is your time.
It's your show.
All right, again, they're building a statue for you, and there you go. So you worked with the great Dennis Hopper.
Yes.
What was that like?
Well, I'm not just an actor. In fact, I'm barely an actor, but I am a movie fanatic. So working with Dennis Hopper was unbelievable. And when I work with actors I admire, unfortunately for them, like I'm like their shadow. You know, Dennis would say, "Hey, Danny, maybe you could give me a few minutes to go to the bathroom."
Were you in the bathroom?
I was, yes. I'd be like, "Are you going one or two?"
That's when it
got
weird.
I've got, you know, if you do Dennis actually yelled, you got to do Dennis right. You had to yell a little. One time, I many years ago, but I did Dennis Hopper in a room, and this pretty girl came in. Hopefully she's listening. Her name was Marin. And she said, "What?" She was looking around. It was while they were editing a movie, and she was in the next room, and she said, "Did someone just do a Dennis Hopper impression?" I said, "Yeah, I did it. Fuck." And she goes, "That's my dad."
Oh.
She wasn't mad. I mean, it was sounded like him at the time. I'm 30 years older, so.
I love your audition story for River's Edge.
Oh, yeah, that was something.
You have a quick version of that?
A quick version of my audition for River's Edge.
Or a slow version?
They would have never, ever, ever given me the part if they saw the guy from Catholic school. the married 21-year-old man. They would have never given me the part, so I greased my hair down and threw on ratty clothes and got some beer and walked into the room. And instead of sitting on the chair, I sat in the corner and
on the floor.
And they may have thought, "Oh, Jesus, we've got one." You know, one of the guys will eventually be downtown building a shrine to Dan Roebuck.
Right.
The director, I think I fooled him. And then the end of the story, I know I fooled him because he said so. And then the end of the story is...
Are you crying?
Oh,
no,
boy.
I burped.
Oh, they, sorry. You
the end of the story is...
Dance.
I went down to take him a gift, a bottle of wine, to thank him for giving me the part before we started shooting. And he, you know, I said, "This is for you." And he said, "Oh, thanks. Who's it from?" And I said, "It's from me." And he said, "Who are you?" And I said, I'm Danny Roebuck. He had no idea, what I really look like. And
oh, wow, that's funny.
So that's the end of the story. Wasn't that interesting? Please send a call.
Sorry about that.
A call from Tim Hunter. That story's bullshit.
1-800-893-9562 is still our number. Hey, Dan, let's...
It's still our number if you've shredded it somehow accidentally.
It hasn't changed.
If somehow you've written it down and taken it and burned it on flash paper, we're giving it to you again so you could maybe accidentally call.
And what's great is if they're actually listening to this right now live, it's actually right in front of them on the website.
It's amazing. Yeah.
And if, by the way, and if you listen to this next week and you call, I won't be here.
You won't be here. Well, we're trying to get you back.
Me and Peter will be.
Yeah. Peter will be. None of it. Yeah, Peter. Yeah. it will be here.
I sleep under the table.
We'll have you call in, Dan.
Okay.
We need some more friends calling.
Yeah.
What else is going on? No, I appreciate everybody who calls. Here's the deal.
Dan, was so well done.
Thank you. Here's the deal. Let's move on. The late shift. You played Jay Leno.
Yes.
You had a prosthetic chin. Did you keep it?
I know. And I'm an idiot. I know. You can write, someone write that down next to the phone number that you're not using. Right? Dan's an idiot. Because I wanted to be a makeup man at one point. You would have thought I would have kept one chin. I never asked for it. And then when I finally did, they said, oh, you don't know where any of that stuff is. I wore a chin, a nose, fake teeth.
Stephanie's wearing
suit.
All that now. She dresses up.
She looks fantastic.
Hey, we have a caller.
Oh.
Ooh. Caller, who's calling in?
Stop talking about Stephanie. I'll shank you in the parking lot next to your...
Right next to that statue.
next to that statue made of feces.
Hey, caller, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, John?
Good. Who's calling in?
This is a guy named Jason. Happens to be friends with John.
John who? Me?
John Donahue.
Jason yeah. Who? What's the third
Jason
person?
Jason Cockerham.
Jason Cockerham. What's going on? No, you know Jason Cockerham, Dan.
Jason Cockerham was in the audition as a job, and
we
now
talk
he's
about
moved
that.
Into producing. How did it go?
Well, it's gone pretty well. We finished shooting the last bit for our trailer Wednesday, actually, and so we should be getting that ready to go sometime next week.
Fantastic.
Mazel tov.
Awesome. Yeah, because Jason directed a show. You didn't direct it. You wrote a short film, yes? Or is it a long film?
It's a long short film.
Oh, it's a long short film, and Dan is in it.
Yes, Dan, and hopefully John Donahue, too.
Yeah, well, if you can get my agent.
And hopefully John, because they got getting Jay Robuck was easy.
I'm going to see if I can have those homeless people sculpt my face, over yours in the feces.
Okay, good.
I'm just going to say, man. We're going to keep beating that joke
Jason,
down.
Do you have a question?
Or an answer.
I like that everybody calls in to pitch their stuff.
Check out this.
Jason, thanks for calling.
And even your friend Brian pitched his kids. had to rub it in our face.
My
that
kids
he
are
let
sleeping.
Them in Binghamton, New York, that for some reason they were up at 11:30 at night.
Just to listen to the show.
I can't swear at 11:30 in Binghamton. Where can you? Hey, Jason, thanks for calling. I'll talk to you later, buddy. We got stuff to do.
All right, sounds good.
I'd see
you. Good catching up.
Hey, so you didn't keep the chin.
I did.
The late chin.
This is a smooth.
By the way, we have 20 more years after this.
We do. We're going to move on
now,
quickly.
Can I tell you a late shift story if you'd like to hear one?
Yeah, sure.
Yes.
We had to reshoot some scenes in that movie like you do often for story. And my daughter was imminent, like late. And we had, the makeup artist had a suitcase with the accoutrements to remove the makeup from me if I had been called to the hospital. And the director, Betty Thomas, said to Kelly the day before we started shooting.
It's your wife, Kelly.
My wife, Kelly. She said, she goes, I'm telling you right now, you better not ruin my shoot with that baby. And then the baby was literally born the next day.
Wow.
So never had
it was never, Jay Leno's love child. Like me running into the hospital as Jay Leno.
Did Jay give you his blessing from that shoot?
He's the godfather.
Yeah.
Not the baby, though, this show.
You know what's, Jay has been a gracious acquaintance, always gracious 100% of the time. So not the blessing, and I never asked for it before the show because I just thought that would have been a bad position to put him in. But he's been kind. I produced an animated short film, and he narrated it for us.
Wow,
and I had
cool.
Kathy Bates in it too. So if anybody thought, well, they'll never work together, we put them together.
Because Kathy played his agent in the show,
yes.
In the movie.
Nice.
Jay is the thing about Jay is that he's just a nice person.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody wants to believe that because right. We want to think everybody in Hollywood is an ass like us.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason you've never read anything bad about him is because he's just a nice guy. And
that's
it's
awesome.
Hard for people to accept that.
I've had the pleasure to run into the guy about twice in a past job where I got to talk to the guy. And I've never met a more genuine, down-to-earth individual where it was just kind of like, him in his denim jeans and his denim shirt, which is what he just loves, and just...
Then you yelled Code Red, and you both ran.
And they're like, how the hell did this guy get into my office? And then mass pandemonium broke out.
No, a good guy.
Great when
guy.
I'm in the canyon sometimes, I'll see this big jalopy or some old car. Jay Leno sitting on the top of it with goggles or something. He's got this car collection. You can always see him just tooling around.
Yeah, he's like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
He wears the goggles and the helmet and all, too, which is a little weird.
But. Oddly, I wore goggles and helmet driving down here just to confuse everyone.
We got your helipad on the roof. That's okay.
We don't spare any expense. For
I noticed that.
As you shake the mic,
he refuses.
It's sturdy. We got it held up with some popsicle sticks and rubber bands. It's a good mic.
No, it's a good mic.
Jeremy's pissed. He's like, "Do not make fun of my equipment. That is a genuine speaking spell that I hooked up and made it some kind of a thing for the equipment."
There you go.
Josh knows nothing about tech, by the way.
Yeah, I know speaking spell and hooked on phonics.
Yep.
Let's see. Prosthetic chin off.
Go down his outline.
Speaking of being the comedic sidekick, Tommy Lee Jones.
Everybody was speaking of that, but Tommy Lee Jones.
Wait a minute. From earlier when I put.
I remembered. I don't know if
transition.
Tommy Lee Jones, if you're listening, would you call in?
Yes, please. 1-800-893-9562. It's toll free, Tommy.
1-800-893-Biggs.
Yeah. Now, the other day, I took Stephanie Butora to see Harrison Ford at Jimmy Kimmel's show. He was great, and she passed out, and she woke up, and she wished Harrison was giving her mouth to mouth. But Dan, what was your experience working with Harrison Ford on The Fugitive?
Ford, a very, a very nice guy. I got two quick stories. One is we were shooting down in... Tennessee, I guess, maybe, or North Carolina, but it doesn't really matter.
We're going to look it up right now.
But
you better be right.
We were at the shooting scenes in the hospital, and my dad was there, and he was walking to the set, and he stopped, and he turned, and he said, "You must be Dan Roebuck's dad," which does not bode well for me and the future of how I'm going to look. He was, and I always thought that showed a certain, panache and charm. And then I do remember when we were shooting at the Hilton, I guess, in Chicago, very late at night, he was sitting on a camera case and I was sitting on a camera case, just to piss off.
They don't give Harrison a chair.
Well, we're just kind of relaxing.
Andrew Day.
And then I looked over at him and there was Indiana Jones and Han Solo. And I said, I don't know what to say to you. and he said, "I understand." So that's
inspiring words from
"I understand." And I always thought, what is it like to go through life as Indiana Jones? Yeah. And
you can never fall. You can never trip in public. You got to look cool at all times.
Yeah, you got.
And he does.
He got a parallel park perfectly.
He was funny on that show.
Oh,
huh?
It was amazing. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
On the Kimmel show, he was great. He yelled at Chewbacca. Awesome.
You can watch that. You could watch that. I'm sure on YouTube. I'm sure it's very.
Yeah,
helpful.
I've already watched it again.
You falling asleep, Dan?
No.
I'm trying to be comfortable and talking to the microphone. But we were talking about Andrew Davis.
We were?
The director.
He went on
to direct so many other things, including a movie called Holes.
You were going to get... Do you want to get to that already?
No, I just thought it was... I'm doing segues.
I had a segue, Dan.
I've been on radio for 40 years,
Dan,
brother.
Look at this. I have it. Okay, here's my segue.
Notes.
Look at... Dan, here's my segue. Literally printed out.
Don't blow it.
Yeah, don't use it later.
Oh, sorry.
Jesus.
No, this is good.
What's your next question?
This is not it.
I'm sorry. It's not your time yet.
It's okay. I'll sit in the corner.
Sticking with movies, you worked recently, I'm reading, on a film that I love, John Dies at the End.
Oh, great.
It's a crazy film. I still do not understand it, but I've seen it 4 times, and I don't give a crap. I love it so much.
Great film.
Now, we can only hope.
This just came out on DVD.
And Blu-ray. On demand. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you are masked in the thing.
Don Coscarelli, who brought us Phantasm and Bubba Hotep.
Awesome.
Oh, nice. A great filmmaker. I wish I had bad stories to say. Another great guy, like the gentleman's gentleman. Beautiful family. His daughter, by the way, Chloe Coscarelli, is a vegan chef cook.
Yeah.
And she has her second book out now. She won the Cupcake Wars once with a vegan cupcake. Just a beautiful girl. Anyway, they're the nicest people. And that movie, I'm very proud of that.
John
even
does
though
at the end.
I appear... I appear only in the last act of the film, and I'm wearing a mask. And Don always says, well, Dan took, you know, took the bullet on this one. Because, you know, and I said, no, I mean, look at this. You know, Roddy McDowell wore the makeup in 4 movies and a TV show. And, you know, they knew by his voice that he was still Roddy. And then I went, oh, shit.
I need a whole nother voice. I do this voice in the movie. This is how the Lodgman talks.
Oh, that's
like, I don't know why, because I said he's from another dimension. Maybe he talks different. So I don't. It's not my voice or my face. And now I lost 40 pounds. It's not even my goddamn body.
Did you keep the chin, Dan?
I kept the mask. That mask I have.
Or the mask.
I shouldn't have said GD. I'm sorry.
I love the film. And so if you haven't checked out John Dies at the End, it's freaking awesome. It's I recommend watching that with Repo Man, another one of my favorites.
Oh, yes.
Which is a movie I still don't understand either, but I love it.
Oh,
God, speaking of cult horror directors, you've also worked with Rob Zombie.
Yes.
Halloween 1 and 2. How much fun was that?
It was great. Rob is, you know, he's a real filmmaker. You know, he's a rocks. I went to see him play, you know, a concert. And I just kept, because I only know him as a director, and I was just thinking, this would be like Tippi Hedren.
Or David Henning.
Tippi Hedren going to see Alfred Hitchcock ice skate. That's probably what I'm saying. You know, I didn't know you could ice skate too. Oh, yes, I have a great ice skater. No, they already made the Alfred Hitchcock movie. They didn't call me.
A couple
but,
of them.
You were actually better.
Just
kidding.
Rob's great. I was in Lord Salem, which is out this week. People should go see it.
Oh, you're in that too? Because I want to see that.
Well, I was in it. And Mr. Zombie did not inform me. Mr. Zombie informed me months ago that I would not be in it. But
I see a segue.
He didn't do it on the red carpet.
On the red carpet.
But by the way, at Halloween 2, I had to tell another actor on the red carpet that he had no idea. And it is hard when that information doesn't come out. The guy didn't know we reshot the whole sequence.
Oh my gosh.
Oh man.
But that's not an uncommon situation, huh?
No, it's you're really fishing for this segue. Listen, let's segue. Hey, you know, Dan, you know, Robert was in a movie. I think I mentioned the movie Holes.
Oh,
Andrew Davis.
I noticed the biggest hole in it was Robert.
Yeah, Robert. tell Dan what happened.
I got cut out.
on the red carpet.
I found out with Andrew Davis telling me on the red carpet.
And he felt bad about it. I know him.
He was
horrified that you were there. And
he made Robert buy him a popcorn and soda at the premiere right after.
And it was mostly because I had made it. But he was very nice about it. And he kept telling me, you know, just keep going, you know, and don't worry about this. This is just a hiccup. And, 11 years later, I'm a tour guide at Universal Studios. Hopefully.
Well, listen.
I'm not even there yet.
I refuse to watch Holes until they put Robert's scene back in the movie.
Yeah. I think that's a good. You should go on a hunger strike, John.
What is that supposed to mean?
No.
Am I heavy?
Handles. Anyway, I'm just saying.
I do want to point out, though, I actually went and looked for Holes DVDs or Holes CDs and couldn't find them anywhere. So it makes me feel like people kept them.
No, I think people bought them.
Yeah, people bought them.
Because you weren't in it.
Yeah.
Or they even put them into circulation.
No, it's just very interesting. And, you know, like if you're not in a Rob Zombie movie, I don't worry, you know, in the first place, I know whatever helps the story is better for the story.
Yes.
But in Lord Salem, I play 2 characters. And got cut out of both because I was playing a murderer. And then I also, he said, you want to play Frankenstein? So I play Frankenstein in this movie within the movie wearing this mask that I almost suffocated in. But I thought it would be fun to be Frankenstein in a movie.
Why not?
Yeah. But it'll be on the DVD. So we should see if there's deleted scenes on the DVD.
Robert is on the DVD deleted scenes of Holes.
Yes.
Oh, all right.
But for people who want to hear fans of Holes, I devised a plan. Okay. I got a piece of the script. A page of the script. Well, it's the only page. It's basically Robert's whole performance on one page.
All right.
He played Derek Dunn, the bully in the movie. Yeah. Now, Stanley Yelnats was played by Shia LaBeouf in the movie.
What a talent.
Shia LaBeouf. So right now, Dan has agreed to read all of Stanley Yelnats' lines.
It's a big scene.
And Robert is going to reprise his role as Derek Dunn.
Yes.
All his lines live right now.
How many years has it been?
It's been years.
15 years, probably.
I've been waiting.
It was since 2004.
In a little piece, we like to call... Theater.
So classy.
I had to find that. Okay, here we go. I'm going to read the stage direction. Stanley shuts his locker and begins to walk off with Derek. His notebook. Well, I read that wrong.
Wow.
He begins to walk off with Derek. His notebook. When a, I don't know what that means. When a boy much smaller than Stanley sneaks up behind him and grabs the notebook out of his hand, the other boys all laugh. Nice job, Peter and Stephanie. Hugh Stanley.
Hey, give that back.
Come and get it, lard butt.
And that was Holy Theater. Robert, you finally got to do... You finally got to do it for everybody.
Shia LaBeouf, lard butt.
Yeah,
that's why you got cut out. And I wanted that little beat.
Peter's cut it out.
Idea was to have a little beat at the end for the music to play up a little longer. It was great.
This is the beginning of a great, great segment.
Yeah. We need to get Linda Hamilton in here and read Stanley Yelnats.
We've got
next time.
Dan Robot. Thank you very much for being. Robert has a tear in his eye. He finally got to play that character, and people got to hear it.
You got to hear it.
That will. I'm sorry. I do hate to bring this up, but that will be $575.
Oh, boy. If Robert was,
is there such a thing as SAG scale anymore? I think in SAG we just pay them, those morons, to have the union scope screwed up.
Those union bastards.
Didn't Andrew Davis say your role, you weren't getting paid, period, Robert?
Period.
So it doesn't matter, does it? You did, but you should be getting residuals.
Yeah, we're working on it.
I was told the same thing.
My manager's working on it.
I was told the same thing when I got cut out of Taxi Cab Confessions. Twice.
Are you serious?
Twice.
I believed you.
Cried like a baby in the backseat for about 35 minutes.
Like you do in my car when we carpool.
They didn't put anyone out of the air.
I hate picking up Peter every week because he's in the back seat. We pick him up. Because he doesn't want to pay the $7 parking. I say, Peter, we're downstairs. All right, I'm on my way.
I have irritable bowel syndrome.
All right. 10, 15 minutes later.
I have irritable friend syndrome, but I still came on the radio.
And yet this guy, if I go to pick him up, I could be sitting outside for 25, 30 minutes for him to come outside.
No, he's watching the commentary on some stupid DVD.
Trying to find Robert. Here's the thing. We waited downstairs for 10 minutes, but here's the thing. Peter gets in the car, no fail. Anyway, if I come near another car, a car gets in front of us, we want to park. He's going, like he's like, I have to please you. While I'm driving
through the streets,
you don't make it easier when I drive. You don't make it any easier. We'll talk about this later. You drive home.
We are over.
Sorry, Dan.
I can't quit you, John.
I can't quit you, John Downey.
We have 8 minutes left.
Stephanie hasn't said anything.
That's how we like it, Dan. That's how we like it. If you listen to the show, Dan, you know this.
Who the hell listens to this show?
I'm not allowed, Dan. I'm not allowed.
Well, let me ask you a question. Let's gauge how many people are listening by the calls. Is there another call?
No. Jeremy, describe your voice quick. No. Wait, Jeremy, wake up. Describe your voice quick.
Jeremy's like, hey, my name's Jeremy. We all have a fake Jeremy voice.
Hey, Mr. Daniel. I have a question for you.
Hey, real quick, you were on The Walking Dead, but it was for like the webisodes, correct?
Yeah, please, you guys check out.
Awesome.
I totally missed that.
Oh no,
I
you can see, you can still
Dead.
Go, and they were just nominated for a Webby Award.
Yeah, nice.
The webisodes were directed by. I don't have anything bad to say about anybody. Another great guy, Greg Nicotero. Who's
love Greg Nicotero.
This is why you
great
work
makeup
so much
artist
in the
director.
Business because you have nothing bad to say.
I don't
say
have
about
anything
it.
Bad to say, and even Ted Lange. I mean, I don't hold it against him.
Who's Ted Lange?
Exactly.
Well, you mean?
No.
You mean?
No, that's a joke. That's a joke, Ted.
Ted
Isaac from The Love Boat.
So you guys can go if you know everything's Googleable,
Walking
right? Walking Dead webisodes 2012. And you got to you can watch them all in 12 minutes.
Yeah.
I also want to say, as we're talking about horror, you guys know I have an affinity and affection for horror movies.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you about that.
Yeah, let's talk about Dr. Shocker.
Well, Dr. Shocker, please, we've got a new fun DVD coming out in a few months called Dr. Shocker's Vault of Horror.
Awesome.
Nice.
And you can go, please go to docshocker.com. DocShocker.com, and there's a Doc Shocker Facebook page. I beg you to join that, and you'll know when the DVD's coming out. But it's filled with It's hard to describe. Of monster mania.
It's a I got to catch a little bit of it, and me being growing up in Chicago, Svengoolie, was a big part of my childhood. And when I first found out about your Doc Shocker persona,
I watched Doc Shocker
a little bit. That's a whole that's for the sex show on Wednesday night.
Oh boy!
But no, and I thoroughly love the vaudevillian style of the show that you put up. And folks, if you haven't listened to it, definitely check it out.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
It is a hoot. You know, a lot of magic comedy style fun stuff.
There's a lot to see. Yeah, there's a lot to see on DocShocker.com, and it'll be a good preview of what's to come. So please, join that. But so it was, it was joyful to be on those webisodes. It was unfortunate though, because you're on a webisode and then you kind of give up your chance to be on the show.
Yeah.
Although, if you watch the webisodes, folks, and you see what I really look like, I look like my older fat brother, which I don't really have. My brother's skinnier than I am. But I got sick after that. So I thought, and if, someone's listening, you should all write to TNT or whatever, A&E, what is
it? A&E.
A&E. And there's no reason AMC. I can't actually play AMC. My younger brother.
Why not?
Because, BJ's dead and LJ is not. I don't know.
But if you definitely watch it, your BJ character is definitely a special guy.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
If you watched a couple of episodes, if you like Walking Dead, folks, very endearing. He's just like all the other characters.
Yeah,
he's
right up there.
Is Peter getting too close, Dan? Is he too close to your knee?
No, Peter's fantastic.
Okay.
I'm very pleased with
it's
with
very
this,
soothing.
This crack licking. Very
beautiful. Oh, Peter. He's got his first mate shirt on.
You should see the rub your open buggery.
Hey, we got 4 minutes left. Let's talk real quick about something I loved. I had a great time, and it changed the way I look at auditions. The audition is the job, Dan.
Thank you. Yeah, the audition is the job. I've been mentoring actors for many, many, many years because there was no one to help. No one to help me when I came out here. Nobody would give you information. So every few weeks, we have the audition is the job experience. Mm-hmm. I don't call it a class because I don't want to say like I'm a teacher or a master class, because if there's a master class, is there a slave class? what does that mean?
And then, yes.
And there's a lot of people teach how to audition. They say, I'm going to teach you how to audition. And you go to look them up on IMDb and they've never been in anything.
Right.
So you think, you may not have figured this out.
Derek Dunn and Holes is teaching a class.
I teach the slave classes. Cut out. It's a 16-week class.
The first thing you do is you say to the director, he looks fatter in front of you than he did. Anyway, yes, the audition is the job.com. I guess it's so pitchy. The audition is the job.com, and there's the audition is the job on Facebook as well. So you guys could join all that. And we welcome the chance to help actors. John, you did say, and you were very kind, you said it made a difference immediately.
I love auditioning. I look at totally different now. And I wish you'd stop having the class, because I want to keep these secrets to myself. Please stop.
Actors, they're always thinking of I'll get the job and it'll change my life. I'll get the job and I'll have money. I'll get the job and my boyfriend will love me, whatever. But in reality, they're always thinking past just walk in the room.
Yeah.
So we just help them remember that they got to just walk in the room.
Yeah. Well, beautiful. I walk in and I'm told quickly to leave. Hey, Dan, but I smile about it now. Hey, Dan, anything else you want to plug before we go?
Well, I feel like I've plugged too much. Everybody be nice to each other? I've noticed these last few days, the whole world is tense, man, and it happens every time these terrible things happen. And you see, I'm not the best driver, but I'm not, I'm not terrible. And I've gotten the finger 3 times in the last week for
last 10 minutes from us.
Stopping at the stop sign. So everybody take a deep breath.
And stop driving like a jerk,
Dan. Take a deep breath. I'll stop driving by like a jerk. We just got to stay calm.
Love each other.
Yeah, yes, we don't have to love each other. There's a lot of people that
love each other.
But we do have to be less douchey to each other.
Yes.
Let's do that.
Are you listening, Peter?
Definitely.
Let's go around the room. Dan, great word. Seriously.
Yes.
Thank you.
That was awesome.
Hey, Robert, plug other friends' stuff real quick, like you always do.
He's got nothing.
You don't have anything? He's like, I'd like to plug my friend
Universal
Bob's.
Studios. Yeah, it might Universal go a long way.
Wish him luck.
Job.
Wish Robert luck, everybody, that he gets that
Robert,
job.
You're going to do it. They're nutty if they don't do it.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Peter, you want to plug?
Well, just to reiterate, just basically, like everyone basically said, just giving a lit out, David Ortiz, This Is Our Fucking City was, I think, the best
Sorry, Brian's
bomb,
kids.
Best bomb dropped in the last week. That David Ortiz dropped the F-bomb before the Boston Red Sox today game and just said, This is our fucking city.
Sorry, Brian's kids.
Brian's kids should be in sleep.
Brian's kids, go to bed.
Go to bed. Absolutely.
David Ortiz, your father should not let FCC. You be up.
Thoughts and prayers.
Binghamton.
We have a caller.
Hey, Stephanie, what do you want to say? Thanks, Stephanie.
I hope that I'm back next week.
Oh,
Stephanie, by the way, sorry. Is the eye candy of this group. You guys should know it. I mean, she's so a really nice
girl. As soon as she starts speaking in British,
I get cut off. I don't know.
I'm going to cut you off now because I have to thank Beyond the Marquee. Again, MARQUE. Yes. Follow them on Twitter at Beyond Marquee. They couldn't fit the in. And BeyondTheMarquee.com. Like them on Facebook. I'm John Donahue. You can follow me on Twitter at John, J-O-N, Donahue, D-O-N-A-H-U-E, just in case, Mom, you're listening. And like The Rap Party on Facebook and Twitter. We're just called The Rap Party. We could fit the. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for to Dan Rook, Robrook.
Thank you so much,
Thanks
Dan.
Thank you, Dan.
This is what happens when I talk fast. Thanks, Dan, for coming in tonight.
Yes.
You are awesome.
You're very kind.
And I'm going to go outside and help sculpt the rest of that statue.
Oh, I'm sure it's stinking up. I'm sure it's stinking up the foyer as we sit here.
Yes.
Thank you for having me, everybody. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, man. And Jeremy, thanks for being here.
Yes, thanks, Jeremy.
Let's get out of here.
And you stand with me. Yes, servicemen. Thanks, servicemen.